yeah, oh yeah, can I get a oh yeah, oh yeah, can I get a...
What is going on? Welcome to another episode of Journey to Mastery. I'm getting more and more used to saying that after saying the other show, the show's name for so many years. But welcome to another episode. I'm pretty excited. It's funny. I feel like I already know Felicia from the pre-interview questions, but I really wanted to spend some time unpacking her story because I believe that as an entrepreneur, it is important to know when to rebuild, when to stop, when to start over. So that's what we're going to cover today. And yeah, it's going to be awesome because Felicia's awesome. Felicia, how are you?
I am wonderful. I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. I hope you're doing well also.
I am doing well. I can't complain. So I'm going to hop right into it. If that's okay with you.
It is.
We're connected on LinkedIn. And this morning I saw a post that you put up there talking about how you basically burned down a successful business and started over after making your first million. First of all, why in the world would you do that?
Because I'm a crazy person. No. Full transparency, I was standing in the middle of a hotel in August of 2021, and I rarely hear the audible voice of God, but I heard the Holy Spirit say, it's about to get tough and you're about to shut all this down, but you're going to be okay. And I started looking around like, what? It can't be me because we shaking and baking, baby. There's no way we're going to shut this down. And I realized that although I helped so many women go from $10,000 months to $10,000 weeks and six-figure months, they were simply making money and so many other parts of their life was failing and that just wasn't going to work. And so although we were all making money, we generated over $5 million in that program, it had to go. So that's what we did. And I now spend my time helping women redefine what it means to be successful and live a rich life through what I call the rich method for living.
Take me through how that works, right? You hear God tells you, all right, you're going to shut it down. But the funny thing about God is, and maybe your experience is different, but my experience with him has been, he'll tell me things, but he doesn't really tell me all the details that go along to the things that he wants me to do. So it's like, okay, gotcha. But where do I start? Like, what's the first thing you do? You hear God's voice is like, okay, I get it. I'm going to submit. I'm going to do it. Step one, what do you do once you come to that realization?
Oh my gosh. Step one, and step one sometimes take a long time. Step one is accepting what you heard when it doesn't fit your vision, your goals, your plan, especially when things are going well. You know, we love to talk about hearing from God when things are tough and, you know, I just needed a breakthrough and I was broken through. The throughs was broken. Okay. I was very well, but things were not going according to his plan. And so the first step for me was embracing what I heard and calling my husband and saying, I think it's about to get a little reckless around here, and just accepting what I knew to be inevitable. And, you know, most of us want to follow through and just be obedient. But before we can do that, we have to accept what we've been told and the instruction we've been given when it doesn't fit what we think we want. So yeah, that was a tough one.
Yeah. So on a practical level, though, what did you do? Did you start calling clients and saying, hey, I'm going in a different direction? Did you take us to the nitty gritty?
Goodness. So I mentioned that I was in the middle of a hotel, but the reason I was in the middle of the hotel was because I was preparing to host the biggest event that I'd hosted for almost 100 attendees in Charlotte. And I stood there for a while and tried to embrace what I heard, and I carried on with the event. And the first step was having 30 prepared buyers in a room that are ready to sign up and not offering a call to action. And any business coach, and I spent many years as a strategist, professionally in corporate and as a business owner, it was a hard pill to swallow. And so the first thing that I did, I said, okay, Felicia, if you're going to make this move, you cannot launch this program at this event that's already planned, already paid for, already sold out. You have to stand there and tell these women that they can't work with you. And that's what I did. And I cried for probably a week, and I had to be okay with not knowing what was next. And I don't know, you know, your experience, but as a successful person, as a person who's used to winning, to not know what's next is a foreign place. We always know what's next. We always have a plan. And so I closed the program, and it was tough because people were just signing up. Like, I wasn't even selling, and I've been in sales for almost 20 years. I wasn't selling. People were just like, hey, I heard about this. Can I join? Sign up. You know, people were paying in full. People had no issue with the payment plan. And I'm like, but it's working. And so I closed it and I continued to speak. I started testing other services and things like that. And I had to tell one person when she said, but Fee, I came to this conference because I knew I wanted to work with you. And I had to tell her that in that moment, I didn't have an offer for her. Very humbling moment. Very humbling moment when you're used to helping people, when you're used to your events selling out in 36 hours and things like that. And so I had to close it. I took the offer offline. I carried on with the event. It was a highly successful event. And after I got home, I thought, what the heck did I just do? I just completely took away my most profitable service I've ever had. And I had to sit there and find out why. And that was because I needed to learn how to build community and I needed to be speaking because that's really where my gift is. Although I'm a great strategist, my ultimate gift and purpose in the world is to use my voice to convict before I use it to convert. And so that's something I say all the time because my voice does convict. I know that that's where my power is. And I've seen how my voice through empowerment and events and writing and speaking really empowers people to make a move that's not just profitable, but purposeful as well.
So what did that look like at the home life? You go to the husband, you say, hey, yeah, by the way, I'm shutting everything down. Is he like, okay, let's go? Or is he kind of like, what?
Actually both. My husband is very hyper supportive. At first he was like, shut it down for what? But my husband knows me well enough to know that when I hear God say something, I'm not going to be that girl that's just like, oh, we'll get around to it. You know, if it looks ugly, then we'll do it ugly. And so he did say, after he said, what? He did say, okay, well, where do we go next? And we started formulating a plan. We started looking at what we offer because my husband and I work together. We have worked together since we first met. We met in the car business. And he said, all right, let's go. And so I started speaking more. I said, well, we're going to go on this mini tour. We're going to go to a few cities, bring the Rich Method for Living, talk about what it means, help women and wives and moms to really embrace the power in womanhood and the richness in womanhood outside of their titles. And a few months later, in January of 22, my grandfather passed away. And 4 days later, I lost my vision in my left eye. I woke up, I couldn't see. And I said, I think something's wrong. And so on top of the health scare in the middle of a move, right when I figured out what to do, my life literally started to fall apart. And you hear these stories of people, you know, getting in out the mud and grinding and making their way to the top. But what happens when that happens in reverse? You know, you got it going on. Everybody's buying. You are on every flyer. You're everywhere. And now life starts to life. And for us, that looked like taking a screeching halt and saying, okay, let's redesign how we do life in the first place. What is it about this coaching program or these offers that were actually a problem? Because when something's selling, you don't think that there's an issue. You know, your retention's great. Clients are making money. Everybody's happy. So you think because they're getting the results that you promised them. But sometimes the results that we think we want are not conducive for the life that we think we want to live. And so my first priority was to, one, learn how to grieve, right? And so I got heavily into therapy, spent a lot more time in prayer, and really took a look at my life and said, okay, let's test out just living life. What does that look like? And why are women in the space where we're bosses now, but so many of us are getting divorced? We're bosses now, but now we're in the same reason we left corporate or is showing up in our businesses. Why are we not happy and we're making 50K a month, six figures a month? Why are we frustrated with our clients? Why are we still unfulfilled and we're making all of this money? And so a lot of the women that I work with are first generation entrepreneurs. They're making more money than anybody in their family has ever seen, but something in their life gives them the ick. And it's like, what is that about? You know, they're distant from their husbands. Their children are growing up too fast before their eyes. And there's this crossroads between being a boss versus not wanting to get caught up in these traditional roles that tells us we are only wives and moms. And so I spent a lot of time just unpacking, Felicia, what have you really done for these women? Where are the results that don't have anything to do with the dollar amount? And so I went back through the last, at that time, 5 years of my business. And I said, okay, Let's talk womanhood. Let's talk marriage. Let's talk business, but let's not put the business first. And I found that there were so many women identifying with that. And they were like, Fee, we want to talk about this more. And so we started hosting these small groups, Dallas, Atlanta, Chicago, locally here in Eastern North Carolina. And I learned that I wasn't alone, but women were afraid to say, yeah, I'm a boss, but I hate it. Yeah, I'm getting money. Yeah, I'm the most successful, but my family don't like me at Thanksgiving. So how do we get to a place where we have peace, joy, and abundance in our life? And for me, that started with what I call the TME triangle, where we take control of our time, reimagine how we view money, and we displace our energy from the places that are draining us, even though they look successful, so that we can find the peace that we need. And in that process, I became a plant mom. And I found that that unlocked so many doors for me internally. And I started to heal in places I didn't know were broken. And that was what was going around in these small groups. Women were healing in places they didn't know they were broken. And now they're finding a way to love their business again. They're finding a way to love their life again. And a lot of that came with redesigning our business models to fit our life so that we can do life and not just do business.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, I'm assuming that you have a process on every, 30, 60, 90 days where you evaluate things. Is that the case? Do you occasionally look at things and say, okay, let me check, almost like a heat check. Am I happy? Do I have joy, et cetera? Or is it more just a free-flowing approach for you?
You know, I had to learn how to free flow. I had a conversation earlier with a young woman that told me she was focused more on flow and not on force. And I said, that's so good and so important, because it's like we have learned through these entrepreneurial streets that we have to have a concrete bulletproof plan for every moment of our life. And the truth of the matter is that life doesn't allow that. You can have processes. You can decide, hey, this is exactly where I want to go. This is every 30 days we want to check in here. But I found that I have to check in with God and myself daily just to make sure that I'm okay with the day. You know, we're so big on wanting to have a successful year, but for me, it's a daily thing. I recently started specifically for LinkedIn a results sheet, and I do a results note every day. And I take inventory on what went well for me. We always know what went wrong. We don't have to really take inventory on what went wrong during the day. We know because we're pissed off, we're frustrated. We've probably called two or three people, can't wait to get on the phone with our therapist and say, let me tell you what somebody such and such did. Let me tell you what happened in my business. My kids are tripping, or whatever the issue is. So we know what the issues are that are showing up. But oftentimes, those issues are simply the results of something else. And so in order to change my perspective on life, battling MS and still grieving losses and all of that, I decided to start doing a results sheet. So every day I write down, what results did you get? What results did you get today? Whether it's a new connection, whether it's a follower, you're going to be on the results list today, Elsie. I'm going to write down today, I was on a podcast. So that way, when I'm looking at my life and thinking about my accomplishments and trying to stay out of the place where I have to be accomplishing something, I have to be succeeding in something, I have to make sure that I stay successful, I can look at my days when I'm feeling like I haven't done enough and say, oh, Felicia, you got results every single day. Look at what you did every single day. You got a result here. You got a result here. So when the follower count isn't going up like you want, when the clients aren't buying like you want, when you're not getting booked like you want, you can say, oh, wait, I see the results in the process. Sometimes we look at the results as only accomplishing XYZ goal. But in order to accomplish XYZ goal, you have to be accomplishing these tiny successes every day. And so when you're not where you want to be, you can look at your results list and say, I didn't write any results for the past 4 days. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's my perspective. Maybe it's not that I'm not succeeding or not closing deals or what have you. Maybe it's simply the fact that I don't have enough appreciation for the small things. And that's what I learned in that process. So it's not a 30, 60, 90 day review. I take a look at my life every day. And sometimes I think that's because of the health scare and having a diagnosis that makes me have a greater appreciation for the phase of life that I'm in.
Now, is that concept something that you created, the daily results sheet?
I can't sit here and say no one else in life does that. But what I can say is that the women that I have met, they're not doing it. They have their KPIs and all of that, and they know their revenue and their sales growth and the lead generation. We have all that down. But as far as the internal success of my daily life, a lot of people don't do that. I haven't really met anyone that says, oh, yeah, I do that too. You know, and that's part of the rich method for living and why it's so important to have those things in check so that we can see how rich we already are. Because what I've learned, and I'm sure you've heard this if you've not experienced it, is until you believe you are rich already, until you see yourself as successful already, you're always going to be chasing something else.
Yeah, I love that. I gathering from your answers so far, I'm assuming, I'm going to make an assumption that the answer to this next question is that you're a journey person. You're enjoying the journey, the ups, the downs, the ebbs, the flows, the lessons, and et cetera. But unpack that a little bit. Looking at life and business as a journey and not a destination.
So I have not always been that way. And you're absolutely right in your assumption. You know, sometimes that's a hard thing to do, but you are right in your assumption because I started in sales when I was 17 years old. And I started winning in the sales industry when I was 19. And when you've never seen a certain amount of money, when you've never seen anybody with six figures and now you're making it and you can't even drink and you're okay, I made it. And the issue with always thinking that we've made it is that once you make it, you don't have anywhere else to go because you've made it. So that means it's over for you. And shifting that concept, and we talk a lot about this in the Rich Method for Living, is the journey of now. It's what's most important. Yes, we have goals. We're not going to get rid of that. Yes, we want more out of life. We're not going to get rid of that. But the journey of now, what's the priority right now? My marriage is thriving right now. We've been together almost 12 years. We'll be married. We're going to have our 10th anniversary coming up in August. But if my marriage was not on the same page, well, that's the journey of now. When I was grieving my granddad and how I lost friends in the process, people I thought that were going to be there that did not show up for me. Well, that was that grief. That was the journey of that time. So the journey has these micro segments that need our intentional focus. And in order to get to a place of mastery, I've said for years, I think I started saying this around 2018, we don't master life, we master moments. So now what used to upset me, I don't think about it because my priorities are different. What used to shock me, I can't believe they would do that. I can't believe, yes, I can. And so now it's not going to bother me. So as I continue to master the journey of now, that allows me to master the journey of me. That's really the only thing you can master is yourself. And as you continue to evolve, especially as women, we're constantly evolving, constantly changing. You know, we become mothers and we go through these life changes and body changes every 10 years. And we're constantly mastering who we are in the moment. And so many people want to know who they are. They want to know their purpose. And who you are today is probably going to be different than who you are 7 to 10 years from now. And once we get okay with that, then we can embrace the continuation of the journey and go to that next phase of whatever it's time to master.
Yeah, I love that so much. We don't master life, we master moments. That's amazing. So this has been a really, really interesting introspective conversation. What's next? What are you looking forward to that the next moment or the next phase in your journey?
Oh my gosh, I'm looking forward to a few things. But one of the things I'm looking forward to in this moment is we just moved into a new house and I wanted for us, well, for me, it's really for me. I wanted to have a good space to garden and plant because I told you I became a plant mom and it's just changed my life. And I've, you know, made friends with some farmers, you know, some old guys who are teaching me their tricks. And my husband's grandparents helped me with my gardening. And we have about 5 acres that we can plant on, farmland already tilled. And I am really looking forward to putting down some rows of vegetables. As far as business is concerned, I'm looking forward to getting back to speaking more and making that my focus. Last year, as we were continuing to develop the new business model, my husband and I realized that we don't want to be coaching and traveling 24/7. And so I'm in the process of making the business 80% passive in the next 18 months. And so I'm going to take all of my most successful courses, trainings, workshops, and turn them all into digital products. And I'm really excited about that. And I'm also excited to continue to watch my kids grow. I decided last year to dig into my bucket of childhood dreams. You know, when you've made a lot of money in life and you have accomplished goals that are such a dream for a lot of people, you start to feel like there's no excitement. And so I reached into my childhood bag of dreams and I said, Felicia, when you were small, you wanted to be a first responder. So I went to EMT school to start the journey to become a paramedic because I wanted to. I wanted to do something that the money didn't matter because I've been making money for a long time. And so I wanted to get into something that wasn't sales related, that didn't make me have to figure out, okay, I need to get the next customer, next client, let's close the next deal. I just wanted to do something that I wanted to do. And so I went through EMT school. It was tough. You know, going back to school in your mid to late 30s is not, an easy journey for anyone, but it's been fantastic and I'm having a time of my life and my marriage is happier than ever. My kids just have the brightest light in their eyes. They're laughing all the time. And for me, that redefining moment of seeing what success looks like for my family has been a game changer. So that's a few of the things I'm excited about right now.
That's awesome. So before I let you go, what advice or tips do you have for people to remain in their flow?
So I'm in a season that I'm calling Converge. It's where everything great that's ever happened, everything bad that's ever tried to break me, all of those experiences are beginning to converge and show me another level of who I really am. And one of the things that I would want to say to anyone listening is to understand what the Rich Method for Living is. There are four key areas that we focus on, and the R in Rich is for relationships. Your relationships should be the foundation of everything successful for you. Yeah, we can make a lot of money. We know how to do that. In this day and age, anybody can go get a tripod and a camera and make a bunch of money. But what do your relationships look like? Who makes you thrive? Who drains you? What is your relationship like with your creator? Where's your foundation? Because your relationships are what carry you through moments of success. When you want to call that person who's not going to roll their eyes at something amazing you did. Also, when things go wrong, those relationships are going to carry you and hug you and say, friend, it's going to be fine, you know, and then impact. Investing to impact. Where are you investing that time, money, and energy? And also, what is investing time, money, and energy into you? And how is that impacting your life and the lives of the people that you're assigned to? And the C is for cultivate. And as you cultivate the moments and the spaces that are most important, that is what is going to develop. And the H is for harvest. You're going to get a harvest out of whatever you cultivate. And so a lot of times we're expelling this energy into the wrong places and we have to really shift how we're using our time, money, and energy in order to make sure we're cultivating in spaces that are assigned to us. And that's going to determine the level of harvest that we get. You know, a lot of times we think harvest is just the money and the success and the being booked and busy, but the harvest is what's your lifestyle. Because you have a lifestyle, whether you've developed it intentionally or unintentionally. And so that's what I would say to anybody who really needs to learn how to stay in the moment and really get a grasp on what's really important in life.
Nothing really to add to that. That is amazing. If people want to reach out to you to say hello or to work with you, how can they do that?
You can find everything about me on FeliciaKelly.com. You can even see my free newsletter on there where I send out weekly insights read by over 1,000 businesswomen across the globe. And that's continuing to grow as we build community. And you can find everything about me there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.